Welcome to another Jew Function special, which we call the State of Israel. So how's Princeton?
Strangely quiet.
No rocket alerts.
No rocket alerts yet. New York is another story. I'm checking Twitter way too often. Just trying to feel what's going on. It's so interesting these days to be able to actually get your news from first person everywhere. Like, I don't turn on the news at all. Like, you see literally either Hamas guy or someone from the IDF, or like, you're literally watching everything like from first person and trying to piece together some kind of semblance of what's going on.
Yeah. And I'm curious, what does it look like it's going on from
right now,
1,000 kilometers?
Okay, so when it first happened, when it first started, it was like all the footage was people being kidnapped, people being executed, people breaching the border by air and by land. And that's what it seemed like. Now, what I see in my feed is in cities everywhere, huge pro-Palestinian, I think there was 50,000 people. Yeah, like
In London.
Yeah.
I read somewhere there's about 27 of, there were 27 of them pro, but there were 84 for Israel. So we're still.
Okay, there was also, yeah, I don't know about numbers wise, but I did see that there was I would have never imagined seeing in France and in some other places. I saw in Germany also there was Germans outside of a synagogue protecting it on Friday night. I didn't expect that, but the kind of overarching narrative that I'm at least seeing in my news feed is it's kind of changed very quickly. You know, it's like when you have two kids, if one kid hits the other kid, you like say to the older kid, it's like, don't hit back, and then it'll be clear who did the wrong thing, and then we can deal with that. But as soon as they both start punching each other, then you have to deal with both. Even if one is wrong, you still have to deal with both. And I think that it's just so strange. It's what's most strange to me is that standing up for innocent people, for example, Palestinians that are living in a difficult situation, that's one thing. But there's so much support behind people who kidnapped others, who executed others, who came in and just sprayed entire families. And there's people marching in support of that. That it's difficult to process what that's all about.
Yeah. I think it was a sobering moment for a lot of people. Everybody I talked to, and the people on the street, and just on your Facebook circles, and also the comment sections and all the special bulletins that come out. It's like, you know, enough, zero tolerance. That you know, we gave him jobs. We did this, that. And
meaning Israelis gave jobs to Palestinians.
Yeah, dude, the 3 days before the attack, some high-ranking army official says Hamas is deterred and we're planning to open up, give another 10,000 work permits, and we think it's going the right direction. Like, it's
wow.
Clueless. Because for years the thought process was we're humans. We disagree on some things, but let's try to work it out. Let's work toward peace, right? That's what the whole world was chanting for the last 30 years. So how do you work towards peace? You make concessions,
not the whole world,
right?
By the way,
what's
not
that?
Of the world, not the whole world.
Yeah, yeah, not the
definitely
whole world.
Definitely not Iran and Qatar. By the way, Qatar hosted the World Cup, which is like,
yeah,
forget
about that. I mean, there's always, you know, one, two crazy kids, right, the back of the class. That's fine. But generally speaking, the classroom of humanity, the class of 23, most kids were for like having these two kids work it out, right? I mean, like, and there's like, okay, you make concessions, you know, you lower the wall a little bit. You let them in, you let them work, you help them out, you know, provide electricity, water, pipes, infrastructure, cement, money, all those things that you would expect. And dude, I got to tell you, Gaza sits on one of the nicest beaches in the Mediterranean. I mean, nice beach. They get like golden sands from the Nile. It's like beautiful. They could have been like, right, like Dubai, right?
But Dubai has nothing but just artificial just money. Things.
Yeah, they just have money, so they just build whatever they want. So these guys,
Gaza, I mean, right? It's on the Mediterranean.
The amount of money that was beautiful. Put into Gaza, if you add it up, you could make like, you know, it could be like the, you know, it could
everyone
be like
could
the,
be living great.
Yeah, it could have been some crazy resort for people for whatever, or just like normal living. Because again, if people want to, if you want peace, then that's the direction you'll go in. It's not like, you know, and then you're willing to forgive a few crazies. But when the crazies are voted themselves into power and no one from that area resists, then you have to assume they're going hand in hand. Some people say, well, not all of them like Hamas, but you know, whatever. Right now, if Palestinians in Gaza are not willing to die, to shed blood to take out Hamas, then they will unfortunately shed blood as Israel is taking out Hamas. Someone has to deal with Hamas because Hamas is really a really, really bad actor, as they call them. I mean, it's as bad as they get. And also, you can't even rationally rationalize them, support them, because they've been raised on this ideology of hate, which is just bad. We know we're products of the environment. Once you are raised on that.
If people haven't seen that, you can find videos of the schools and of the children who say, like little children, 5, 6, 7 years old, boys and girls.
Yeah,
you know,
I wrote them.
I need to drive over the Jews.
Yeah, I wrote a post about this woman who was survived in Ofakim. And she's like, do you have kids? It's like, yeah, 3 kids. And you know, why aren't you?
This is a Jewish woman
five guys. Well, the story was that 2 trucks showed up in Ofakim early on, and it's a big town, a few tens of thousands of people. I mean, not big, but you know, big in the sense it's like not a kibbutz. It was like a town, right? And they showed up, and luckily they were met by 7 civilians, or like 2 cops and 5 guys with just personal guns, which they had a firefight. 6 guys from the on the Israeli side died, but they managed to kill 7 of the terrorists. So these 2 heavily armored, just full of weapons, guns, cocaine, by the way, they found like all that stuff. So they were just getting ready to, you know, kill all human, right? That was like the, and so they got 7 of the terrorists, and then the remaining 7 panicked and split. So 2 ran one way and 5 ran another way. And these 5 got into a building, started shooting up some people, and then got into, her apartment, this woman.
Is this Rachel? I saw her.
Yeah, that's Rachel, the superhero, right? And then they had her, they were just in her place for 20 hours, had like tied a grenade to her head. And she's like, well, you know, you look tired. Why don't you sit down? I'll, you know, some coffee, some tea. She was talking to them. Come on, I'll cook you some food. And she was just chatting them up, and they kept her alive. And she's like, you know, you have kids? Don't you have kids? I said, yeah, I have 3 kids. If you want to go see them, why don't you, you know, you don't want to die? And I'm like, no, my kids want me to die. I mean, when you get to such a level, there's really no foundation for peace. Mm-hmm. It's not a matter of
if you feel like when you die that, and I heard actually in London, a guy on his megaphone out at the march, he's like, they want life. For us, life begins at death.
Exactly.
It's a different creature. When you go to negotiate, for example, in a business deal, you understand, what does this person want? What do I want? And how can we make some kind of, how can we find some compromise here to make a good deal? But if you're dealing with a hungry lion, you can't compromise. He wants to eat you. That's just it. There's no middle ground. Can't we find some middle? So if there's a person who feels that you need to be dead,
yeah,
and his life begins when he dies. So
yeah, we said it in one of the episodes, right? The problem in the Middle East is that the Palestinians want to kill all the Jews, and the Jews refuse to die, and that's the root of the problem. No, but Golda Meir said a couple of a couple of amazing things she
Bella
said.
Hadid just co-opted Golda as one of her quotes, actually. I saw
Really?
I saw on social media that Golda said, if the Jews put down their
weapons, there will be no more war. If when the Arabs put down their weapon, Golda said, when the Arabs put down their weapons, there will be no more war. When Israel puts down its weapon, there will be no more Israel.
Yeah, so one of these Hadid sisters, these models, just wrote the quote, but in the other way. I don't think she probably realized where it came from.
I don't know if she realized anything. And then she says, Golda also said, we're capable of forgiving the Arabs for killing our children. We're not capable of forgiving them that they force us to kill their children.
Yeah.
We will have peace with the Arabs only when they love their children more than they hate us. So that's like, 50 years ago, they figured it out. And over the years, it just became harder and harder to stomach those ideas. And that's why you find all these concessions and, we'll give them land, we'll do this, we'll do that. But it all goes back to, it goes back to the podcast, man. It goes back to what, what we laid out. It has nothing to do with this. I mean, we can sit here and talk about stories from Gaza and stories from around Gaza, and they did this and they did that, and why did this happen and that happened. But what we're saying is something completely different. We're saying that all of this happens because we are not united. We are not only not united in solidarity. Yeah,
we have to slow down. We have to give the disclaimer. We don't have time, but we have to give the disclaimer on it. We're not saying we don't need a military. We're not saying we don't need to protect ourselves. We have to do all these things. We have to be smarter. We have to be braver. We have to have a stronger military, all these things. What we also want to do is solve this forever, solve this going forward, not get into these situations at all. And because of that,
what are we saying? Every episode, every calamity is preceded by Jewish disunity, right? Isn't that what we're saying?
That's what we've been
every
saying
episode.
Over and
over. Every episode. We're
so
like
tell,
a broken.
Tell me what you experienced in Israel right before this happened,
dude. The
okay,
worst.
Our premise after 50 episodes of the podcast is saying that we see Jewish disunity, and every time the Jewish disunity, fighting amongst Jews, reaches a certain peak, an enemy comes and hits us. So that's what we've been talking about for 3 years together,
exactly.
50 episodes, whatever it is. Now, what did you see before this attack as living in Israel?
The worst Jewish disunity since the Second Temple, probably, I dare say. The worst. Calls for splitting the country into two Jewish states, right? If this is even a concept. Two Jewish states. We're not you, you're not that, we're not brothers. The guy in power is a Nazi, burn this, he's creating that, right? Like the level of animosity, of just like this spewing hatred, and not only hatred, it externally, right, on the level of kind of what people are seeing with their eyes and hearing with their ears, you have half the people, well, not half number-wise, but one group basically saying, we don't want all this talk about being Jewish and a creator, and they can't even stomach this whole idea
secular,
that there is.
Would you call that the secular group?
It's,
or it's more than
liberal,
just that?
Progressive. It's weird because it's not just about being secular. It's almost
because you're secular, but you still can have customs.
I'm,
and things
I'm
like this.
Studying
this
is... the world. We're studying the world, Seth, and we're seeing that there are forces at work here. And the problem is, if you look at them religiously, then you get lost in the all institutionalized religion and all of that, right? Money making machine and controlling and all that. But when you look at it as a scientist who study the cosmos and all the forces, and you say, well, there's a force, and people who, manage to touch that force, to feel it, say, oh, it's a force of love. And we can feel it if we create love between us. That's kind of like the physics of that. And we talked about it
a lot. So who are the ones you're talking about? Who is this group?
So to even say, to acknowledge that, hey, maybe I'm not the biggest thing, in the universe. Maybe there's a force above me. Maybe there's a plan or a trajectory that it's moving. Maybe there are some laws. This half the people refuse to admit because they think it pins them down as dark, antiquated, religious, right, medieval, superstitious,
With all the modern science, it's weird that they still believe that.
Because they're not, because I have news for you. They're not like very necessarily intelligent people. They're also emotional, except they're emotional on the other side. They feel like whatever control they have left on their own lives, which is, you know, falling apart, if they cede that control to some higher power, then they really lost it. Because that,
so this group that, because was that against equals, was fight.
Because that, I'm sorry, because that equals no public transportation on Saturday, and someone's gonna let me eat bacon on my cheeseburger, and all kinds of weird, stupid, really, you know.
But it's also right? You know, what I saw during Yom Kippur, how they those seculars went to some religious areas and removed the barrier between the men and the women.
What
and
do you mean? Like they blew up, but not with weapons, but blew up the Yom Kippur prayer, which has been going on for 30 years in the middle of Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv was always.
I imagine to myself, would they go if the Muslims had a prayer in Tel Aviv?
They had a month
would
before.
Would they ever go and separate, no, you know, or not. Disrupt that? No, they wouldn't. So it's specifically. There's something weird about how people treat the Jews and how Jews treat the Jews.
Exactly.
It's not the same.
And again, we presented an explanation, but it's very hard to hear it because immediately as you say it, people equate, oh, if I'm not with the liberals, you want me to be with the other fanatics. And it's like
the Orthodox, the ultra Orthodox.
Yeah, but also some weird. Oh, they're gonna, you know, my sister needed an abortion and she couldn't have it here. Like all kinds of, you know, people immediately make it personal about themselves, as people do, right? And about themselves and about whatever little degree of personal freedom that they think is going to be robbed by somehow yielding to the other side. Mm-hmm. That's what this whole thing is about: the feeling of power and control.
So over the other specifically, side. Just harp on this for a second. You know, really dig in on this. What this Jewish disunity that was happening before the attack? We talked about the Jewish disunity before the attack. We talked about when the Romans came in to Jerusalem, when they destroyed the Second Temple. There was already, I mean, they just walked in. There was already civil war going on. Yeah.
I put it on my Facebook. I put this line from an interrogation of a Hamas terrorist that was captured. And he said, yeah, we were sitting there watching you protesting and against each other. And we thought, that's a good opportunity. I mean, do you need a more rational explanation? Forget our, you know, mumbo jumbo about some power that takes that forms when you unite. Even though we all know that this power is real, everybody's doing it. Animals are doing it, for God's sakes.
You feel it at a rock concert. You feel it at a sports event.
Yeah,
you feel
of course. It everywhere. More than that, you feel it when you're a baby. You're a baby. The reason you're able to, you know, just go into the world, explore, make mistakes, fall, get up, do crazy shit, and just kind of, you know, eat life. It was, oh, kids, they eat life. They eat life because they feel this love, this protection of this love that happens around them. That's what happens there. It's not nature just unlocked a gene, and then when you hit puberty, the gene locks back in and you become a crazy introvert. No, dude, it's all love. You either got it and you grow up to be this, right, amazing human being, or you're robbed of that feeling of love and then you suffer. All the studies show that. So what we're saying is simply keep giving that love beyond childhood to everyone all the time, above all the differences, or else. And we're experiencing the else. Sitting here, our friends are visiting, we're visiting. You were here in Israel not long ago.
Last week.
Yeah, last week.
It's like a year ago, it feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah, our good friend Juan was heading out to the airport, and right before we sat down, there was a rocket alert, and we got into the shelter, which is this room, and he writes to me that they were sitting on in the plane. It's a military plane. They came to take them with soldiers from the Netherlands, right? All documented and everything, sitting in the plane, and then one of the rockets was intercepted, but above the runway, so that debris was falling. So they kept them on the plane, and and they and they're now the soldiers are calling people's mothers in the in their homeland to calm them down and that they'll take off. So I mean, this is not this is not something, this is something very, very, very real. And for all the good intentions or ill intentions or whatever, whoever's intentions on the right, on the left, in America, in Russia, in all those years that this has been going on, no one was able to offer a solution. Okay, one state solution, two state solution, X end state solution, it doesn't matter, you won't solve it. And every year just highlights how hard it will be to solve it. Every year they say, well, in a few years we'll, no, now you just ruin the generation. A generation on both sides is going to grow up not wanting to see the, you know, look into the other generation's face. We can't. The only thing we have left is to build some form of unity that will work
How
on
is
the
that looking in
level.
the nation right now? I remember after 9/11, for
Yeah.
about 3 months, there
I'll
was an
tell you.
incredible feeling.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I just heard. I was on a different panel earlier today, and I heard a friend who's is a doctor for education. That there was a study on firefighters after 9/11, and one and not one. I mean, you know, a lot of firefighters lost their lives there, and then the community of firefighters, they stuck together to try to kind of cope with it, and the way they cope with it was through like dark humor. That's how they kind of, you know. But then after a few years, they did additional study and they realized that it failed miserably. Everybody was just more traumatized because what was missing is this warm, heartfelt connection. Not, hey, how's it going? You know, not this fake smiles and dark, morbid jokes, right? No, actual care. That's the only thing that was missing. They didn't have it, so they suffered more. And only when they started to add that in later. And you see it in, you know, in families, you see it in societies, all kind of, that's what you need. So this unity, what we have now in Israel is solidarity. Definitely. You have a lot of people who suddenly kind of realize like, oh my God, I also another post. I'm not promoting my post, I'm just like I'm sharing what I, you know, it kind of came through me and I just put it out. But one of my posts says that in Gaza we were spared another civil war. So some people are suddenly like, oh my God, where was I? I was like, you know, kill these guys and kill these guys. And suddenly like, whoa. It's like they're like as if someone broke a trance, you know. Like I remember in Aladdin, you had the guy, the
So is
vizier.
that really what happened? Did most people realize, like I, you know, my I have a relative who's out at UCLA, and there was Hamas protests out at you know, pro-Hamas protests out at UCLA. But he said to me he thought that we reached peak woke. You know, he thought that this was like that people realized yeah, like I'm supporting someone who's kidnapped children. Like that's some kind of line there. And I'm wondering if people there did reach some moment of clarity,
Some. So,
or if it's or is the back, because what happened after 9/11 was it was incredible brotherly love in the city for a short time. Then it went back.
right. I saw
And everything
Israel.
in Is
Israel
happens
is,
faster in Israel, so
well,
I'm wondering.
Israel is smaller, and also right away we like went into a state of war. So everybody's like in it and have kids fighting there and dying there and all that. It's not like in the US where, you know, the army is a professional thing and it's a career thing, and you may live your whole life never seeing a soldier or meeting a soldier or knowing of someone who is a soldier. You may not have that connection even. It's something that we do, right? Like, you know, people go and do stuff overseas, and someone may die in a on a on a on a you know, gas drilling rig in the middle of the ocean from an explosion, or someone died from an explosion in Afghanistan. It's like, it's far from you. It's far. Here it's very, very close. It's very, very close. You everybody knew people. Dude, our friend Maria from Toronto, she was in the in a party the day before, in that party in the south. Stasik was in the party the day before. in that party. They could have been, you know, one of those names there, right? And one of the 300. So it's very, very close. And so immediately that feeling of like, all right, dropping all the shit and now we're shoulder to shoulder and I was supporting the troops and all that, it kind of takes over the entire country very, very quickly. So that part is great, okay? But that's not what we're talking about. We're not saying unite after, you know, the wolves eat, you know, they ate a few of the sheep. So now we're all kind of pulling in, you know, formation and united and we stand against the wolves. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about unity that will continue after, even as you go through this war effort and then through the witch hunt and the probably battles over who was responsible for what and who should pay how and all. If you ask me, the whole political, you know, top level of politics and military, just resign. It's a great opportunity to start fresh everywhere.
All these big changes will happen. What also is difficult, and we didn't talk about it maybe enough until this point, and maybe we should. It's not magic. It's not something mystical. But you know, you take a mom and a dad. They get in bed together for some amount of time. They're not sitting there forming the ears and building the brain. The part that they do is very small. The part that nature does to make the baby is really the magic, right? What does the couple do? You know, crafting the eyeballs? Nothing. They just enjoy each other for a little while. And nature does all the work.
Right.
We don't talk enough. I don't think we talked enough. Maybe we need to, that from our unity, what will be born out of this? It's like pretty much what the man and the woman do. That's all we need to do, just get together. Nature will operate through us and create this kind of incredible future that we're looking for. We will see something totally different. If we want a good life, if we want a good future, if we want to go somewhere, we have to include that force.
I would love to have this panel that we've been talking about doing.
Yes.
And bring people and say, look, this is the challenge. What do we do? The challenge, not
we
of like
unity now,
not rebuilding Gaza, not rebuilding these towns around Gaza, not dealing with the Palestinian refugee problem, none of that. One thing alone: how do we maintain unity, cohesion in among the Jewish society in Israel and abroad?
Other groups can do the rebuilding. Other groups can deal with the politics.
Everybody
other
can
groups.
Do whatever
our
they do.
Work. Yeah. Our work. The thing that we're focusing on is the Jewish unity. Somebody has to do that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it has to be there throughout as a constant thing, like a balloon you have to keep in the air, right? A bunch of balloons, rather. We have this game, right? So that's the challenge. That's the one thing nobody wants to do, because it means getting rid of a lot of redundant things that we do and a lot of jobs and thoughts about, you know, personal profits and all that. No, it's going to have to be education and example and all those things that we kind of, it's too much work. Just, you know, where is that? Just give me the button, you know, but you have to have it. You have to have it. And I hope that maybe for the first time in a long time, people are starting to have this innate realization, innate understanding of the need for it. They may not look at it the way we look at it. Oh, it's a mandate by nature, and we're sort of like our role, and we have to, and if not, like, this is maybe too much to take in. But just on a very basic human level, right? They say, look, if you want to win in Israel, you can't win wars with technology and, you know, cameras and fences. No, people have to have this spirit in them, right? It's like the righteousness of, they said two things. You need the righteousness of your goal, of your path, right? That it's for something real that you are fighting for. And then that spirit needs to be there. And that spirit will only come when that feeling of cohesion, of unity is
the spirit
there.
Also, the spirit also comes from, you know, I hate to say it like this, but if 20 people were murdered and 5 people were kidnapped, the spirit wouldn't come. The whole nation, the spirit overcame because the extent of the suffering was so great.
Yeah, the shock was huge.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is because it wouldn't have happened if it was 100 people. It wouldn't have happened if it was 50 people. It happened once it hit that critical point where it shook the whole nation.
The
We
world, I
want
think, is shaken. The
the
whole world.
world. Right. We must, we're working to get to that point, to that spirit of brotherhood and goodness without that having to happen. That's what we've been trying to talk about for all of this time.
And what we're saying is that I don't see any other way to move forward. I mean, let's be a little blunt here, right? And kind of talk about the situation a little bit. You have 2.2 anywhere between 2.2 2.5 Palestinians in the Gaza Strip alone. You have this 17 Arab countries. Nobody wants to take them, so they're probably not going anywhere. Probably, I don't know. It might change. Meanwhile, this strip is going to get just shredded for the next few days. That's a certainty. Like it, don't like it. It's happening. It's already this that action is going to get that reaction no matter what. You have about another 1.5 million people, Palestinians living in what we call the West Bank, right? Judea and Samaria, Yehuda Shomron, right? You have those people and problems there, and the people in power there, the Fatah and their friends, they're not better, honestly. You can see from how they're speaking, it's probably they didn't have the right maybe conditions to create a similar scenario on their end, but many of them would have loved to see it, right? So you're not going to be able to get rid of them as well. I mean, you're not going to exterminate them. You can't like exile them again. You kind of things are going are kind of stuck in this stalemate, and people are going to get hurt on both sides, but it's not going to get solved. All you increase as time goes by is the level of despair from the situation, right? Those who seek a peace realize that there's no partner for peace. Those who seek war realize that no matter what, they won't be able to just eradicate the problem. So we kind of like in this weird situation. So what do you do? What do you do? Only one thing you can do: focus on yourself. Focus on the one thing that you may be able to change or to work with, right? So that's, I think, the call right now. And I think we're saying it to everyone who might be listening. I hope this goes far and wide of our friends, people we've had here on the show, and we're going to invite them. We're going to have some panels in the coming days. But what are we doing with ourselves? What can we control? What can we do so this thing does not repeat and maybe even goes away for good, right? What can we do?
Now is
Look
a
at
critical
all.
moment where we can do it.
Again, we have the support of the world. The world is kind of giving us this push, right? Like we've gotten this.
It's like when a space shuttle needs to take off, there's these windows. You can't just
Yes.
launch it after
Yeah.
lunch. We
Yeah.
have to wait until there's a certain window because of different gravity.
Yeah.
There's a window right
Yeah.
now. We have to take advantage of this opportunity.
Have to. We have to. We have to. You unite the ranks just to survive and get through this. That psychologically, emotionally, militarily, all that. But then we have to look forward. How do we get to a place where we disagree with any call from within that calls to separate, to pit one group against another? That those days are over. We're done. Done. I don't want to do another episode on, oh, how Jews were not united in 2028, and then this happened. Enough. As we said, enough of that shit. Let's do something that we've never done before.
That's it. That's what all these thousands of years are leading to. That's what all of these calamities are leading to. That's what all of the sages, all the holy books, everything is to bring us to this point of doing that, of being that example for all of humanity, of a group of people who unite in love.
Yeah.
That's
Did the
it.
impossible,
Be an
just
example for all of humanity. Nobody else has done it.
yeah, take right and left, put them together, show the world you can do it. That's it. And be proud of it, be happy about it, that
That's your
go.
contribution to humanity, and everyone
Man,
will be happy.
I think more than happy, but let's start with happy. All right, Seth, that was good. Thank you for letting me unload some of those things. There's just so much emotion there. But we'll meet again. We also have a few, I'm letting people know who are watching this, we have a few episodes we shot before, a few great talks actually we shot before this happened, and I want to put them out, but I want to make sure that people understand that it was shot before, so we're not like ignoring the situation, but there's still great talks, and we want to probably invite those people over and like us, follow us, share this message. Really, we were spared from above. As horrific as this thing that happened, it gave us an opportunity, a window opened. It stopped the infighting, it stopped for a moment everything. And now there's like it's that point where you're like neither rising nor falling. Where are you going? Let's use it. Follow the Jew function, like, comment, subscribe, everything needed, and let's bring this home.
Our destiny's in our hands, everyone.
Yes. All right, Seth, it was a pleasure. I'll see you, and see everyone else right here on the Jew function.